much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what? So what? So what's the scenario? Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what? So what? So what's the scenario?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
And you're listening to the Rodney and the Rock Show. And that's brand new from Not a Surf, doing a Cold to See You from Not a Surf. It's very odd wording, Cold to See You. Anyway, I got another one from Timere, and it's about cat food. Here it is.
That sounds great.
And now.
Or find us on the web at http://// www.UncleFred'sUsedCarEmporium and Pawn Shop located on the corner of Main and 6th, downtownbaltimore.com.
Our feature presentation.
Everybody got that? Easy web address to remember? We're all
easy.
Set?
Easy. Right. I love that Kat's mom was super into hearing a song about cat food.
Sure.
Love it.
Hey, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Because it's not that interesting. Welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Thursday. I want to say it is the 23rd?
Nope.
4th?
Yep.
Somewhere in there,
5th? 24th.
24th of March?
Who are you that you're not getting dates right and you're not caring?
You should know better.
Come on, Bean.
I have many items open on my desktop.
I bet you do.
So many things open that I don't have the date available. So, and it's too much to remember.
I know.
So,
okay.
How is everybody?
Good.
Good.
Okay.
Chip, what's going on with your little band? You guys hit the road for that middle of the country tour? You playing locally again, or what are you guys doing?
I think we have a show next week. We're doing we got paid to do a house party. Awesome. And then we're heading out again Memorial Day weekend. We're playing in Oklahoma and Louisiana and Texas.
How crazy is that?
It's pretty awesome.
How do people in Oklahoma hear about Well Hung Heart?
I think they've toured out there a couple times before I joined the band. And
Back when they were good?
Yeah, back when they were good, before I ruined it. and it's one of those Oklahoma is one of those states that just loves that band. Like, they always have a good turnout and everything.
Oh, that's
like that.
Cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, they always say the secret to success for a certain kind of meat and potatoes rock and roll is to just tour. And you go the first time and you have 11 people, and you go the second time and you have 28, and you go the third time and you have 50. I mean, that's how you do it, is word of mouth, and people go and they have a good time and then they come back. So.
And then they'll go out with me and then they'll go back to 5.
Now, are you envisioning a day where you're going to have the talk with Kevin and Bean and you're going to say, guys, rock and roll dreams come true. See you later. Hitting the road. Doing the band full time.
That's still a long way off, Bean, because, I mean, when we tour, we break even. So I'm not spending money, which is great, but I'm not making anything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's
going
to
be a while. Yeah.
We're going to K-Rock, as a matter of fact. Yeah. They pay you whatever it costs in gas to get to the station. I mean, that's essentially the trade-off.
Pretty much. So. You're safe for a while.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck, Chip.
Thanks,
very excited
Bean.
For you. I know it's something you've wanted for a long time. And Allie, what's new with you?
You know nothing's new with me, Bean. And
okay.
You just want me to say it.
No, I just
and
thought maybe.
And that's hurtful.
I thought maybe, you know. Here's a story that I think y'all will enjoy. You probably saw it happen a couple of nights ago. A woman was live tweeting. Well, she recap tweeted a date that she went on. She is on Twitter @_blotty. Did you hear about this woman with the poop?
Mm,
oh,
what?
You're gonna it's an embarrassing poop story, and I give her all. And I'm not generally a guy who is drawn to poop stories. That is not my thing. Omar loves poop stories. Kevin loves poop stories. Not for me. But
okay.
This one, I gotta say, I found very entertaining. She tweeted this after the date. And I'm just going to lay it out for you, and you tell me what you think along the way. First tweet, I have a story to tell. It's about my poop. So yesterday, I went on a date with a man who asked me out in the grocery store the other day. All was going well, and I went back to his place. I'm a confident, calm, and self-assured woman, so I felt comfortable pooping in his bathroom.
Oh, dear.
This was a mistake. His toilet did not flush.
Oh, no.
Properly, So, of course, like any calm, confident, self-assured woman, I panicked, and I flushed it a million times, making everything worse. By this time, I was really frantic because I'd been in there for too long. There was only one single piece of poop, so in that moment, something came over
nope.
me, and I knew exactly what I had to do.
Stop this story now. You stop it, Bean.
Keep going.
No, Bean, you stop it.
What is it you think she's going to do,
Ellie? She took
it out
and put that poop in her purse.
I got toilet paper and removed the one poop from the toilet. Once that was done, I realized I didn't have a plan. What was I going to do with it now? I can't leave it there. By this point, I was really freaking out because I'd definitely been in there too long. So again, making another horrible decision, I did the only thing I could think to do. I wrapped it in multiple layers of toilet paper and put it in my purse.
No! That is awful. And it's sad to me that I didn't even think for her to leave it in a wastebasket. My first thought was, well, put it in your purse, obviously.
Well, that's what you do.
But if you left it in a wastebasket, it seems like there would be at least a chance that then when your date came in to use the restroom, he somehow would know. So
yeah.
I think that's what she was trying to avoid.
Oh, jeez.
So then she goes on and she lays out some dialogue that's going on the date. Him, you're so beautiful. The moment you smiled at me, you had me. Me, that's really sweet. Me in my head. I have a piece of poop in my purse. So after a few hours, he used the washroom and I heard it flush. I figured he fixed it. Maybe not, but I have to take the chance. I have to try to flush the poop. So I took my purse up to the washroom.
Come on.
I unwrapped the poop, prayed to every god I know, put it in, and flushed. By the grace of God, it worked. The poop flushed. I was free. I was in the clear. Everything was going to be okay. I survived. I am a survivor. So that's my story. A man sat there telling me I'm the most amazing woman he's ever met, not knowing that 10 feet away in my purse was my poop that I'd fished out of the toilet. This is very embarrassing for me, but seriously, don't drink coffee before a date. It's better to be sleepy than to have to hide poop in your purse. Which I think we could all agree, by the way. I think she's laid it out correctly there.
That's one to grow on right there.
So how brave is she to share this story, by the way, with the internet? Because she got away with it. No one knew. This was her private shame. Yet she put it out there for the rest of the world to enjoy. So don't we thank her for that?
Yes. Yeah.
Sounds like you're undecided, Allie.
I'm just thinking about her fishing her poop out.
Look, it wasn't her greatest moment. It's not something she went in there planning to do or hoping to do. But sometimes you got to improv. Look,
listen,
that
everybody
guy,
poops. I would have walked out and been like, listen, I dropped a log and it won't flush.
Doesn't that ruin the whole moment, though? The whole romantic moment of the
date? Who cares?
No, because it's a first date, you can't get away with playing the poop card.
Listen, she said, we met up. Things were going well. I went back to his house. She knew what was going to get done. He wasn't caring. There was poop in there.
I think that would have put a damper on the evening. And I'll tell you something else. Sometimes that 127 hours guy, he didn't plan on chopping his arm off, but then he didn't know he was going to be in a situation where he was stuck on a mountain either.
Yeah, things are very similar. You're right.
Yeah, so you just got to improv. You got to do what you got to do to get through the situation. All right, well done, I say. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show.
I believe that the harder you work, the more you put into it, you're more likely to get out of it, right?
I think you are right about that, and that's why I think today's going to be a pretty good all-new Kevin and Bean show, because we have been wanting all season long to talk to the great Louis Anderson, one of the stars of Baskets, and we've got him today.
So excited.
He plays Zach Galifianakis' mom on the show, and he's fantastic. We also got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup on the show today. It's Thursday. That means we catch up with Dr. Drew, who may or may not still be stuck in Cyprus and needs some help to get back to America.
I hope there's no delay on his phone.
I do, too. I'm worried about that, too. But I got that email, and he needs me to wire him some cash, so
you
just want to double-check with him. Of course I did.
Okay,
yeah, I sent him $10,000.
Oh, good.
Jim Rome, also on Thursday, a lot to talk to him about in sports. Of course, Sweet 16, the NCAA tournament is happening now, too. RJ Bell joins us from pregame.com in Las Vegas with his picks. And Quincy Jones, not the music producer, but the comedian who has become a little bit of a sensation right now because of how he's spending his final months alive, doing comedy, making people laugh. And he's got an extraordinary story, and he's going to be joining us and sharing that with us coming up later on today. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, and that's next right after this on K-Rock. I asked Ralph to pick one song that best sums up his experience working here at K-Rock, and that's the one he came up with. That's Muse, Dead Inside, here on K-Rock, Thursday morning. Yeah!
So.
You all right, Allie?
That's my foot loose.
5:54, time for our first look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
I'd like to read more stories that are false from the internet, please.
What makes you think the story with the poop in the purse was false?
Fake.
Why?
Because obviously it's
based
just,
on what?
It's just obviously, it's just a charming piece of fiction that someone thought would be entertaining to put on the internet.
What is it, what in that story made your antenna go up and think, this isn't real?
The story?
All
the words that you were reading? All those.
You don't think it could happen? You don't think it's a possible thing that a person could do, a choice someone could make?
Yeah, but who then writes it and puts it on the internet? It's just,
maybe it was just such a crazy thing she just wanted
to share.
I had
to put it on the internet. It's so crazy and embarrassing, I had to put it on the internet. Sucker. Sad. Sad. Sit down.
All right.
Tragic.
I mean, look, none of us know.
I do. Fake. Ask Dave. Ask Dave the King of Mexico. He'll tell you. Dave, what do you think? Fake or real? Dave? Hey, Dave?
That's well.
Dave Nostaki.
Oh, our producer's gone. That's good. Hey, let me give you something. How about passes to the premiere of The Boss?
Yeah!
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Bell, Peter Dinklage, and many, many more. The movie's in theaters everywhere on April the 8th. But you, my sweet, sweet friends, get to see it at the premiere at the Regency Village Theater on March 28th in Westwood, California. A good time will be had by all if you'd like to see The Boss. Looks very funny. Why don't you call us now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that particular phone number will win a pair of passes to the red carpet world premiere of The Boss.
Yay!
Where is Shakespeare's skull, right? Right? Isn't that what everybody's talking about today? Where's Shakespeare's skull?
I wasn't aware that his body had gone missing.
His body hasn't gone missing. His skull is missing.
Oh.
Apparently, scientists have scanned Shakespeare's grave, and it shows that his skull stolen. Time to bring in CSI Stratford-upon-Avon. Yeah! apparently, this conclusion is bringing new credence to a claim that the skull was stolen from the playwright's grave by trophy hunters in 1794. There had always been a story about that happening. And a team of archaeologists scanning the grave say, yeah, it looks like it indeed was stolen.
How about that?
How about that indeed?
I wonder what the chain of custody has been, and by that I mean, is there somebody out there today who, on a shelf, has William Shakespeare's skull and knows it?
That's Bill's head over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
Isn't, whose penis is out there? Is it Einstein's or Napoleon's or somebody's penis that's in a jar somewhere that somebody has?
Whose penis is out there, Ralph?
Whose penis is out there?
You know what I'm talking about.
Mine is, but who else?
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard that.
Rasputin? Is it
somebody?
Does it might be Jesus penis?
Wow.
It could be it.
So close to Easter, you guys. Come on.
I think it's Rasputin.
Really?
Yeah, he is famous for his giant penis.
Rasputin?
Yes.
Now that I think about it, I think it's Einstein's brain that's in a jar somewhere. I think they did save his brain, took his brain out. I think that's in a jar. But
whose penis is out there then?
There's some famous person. It might be Napoleon. It's somebody like that somebody has.
Whose penis is out there? That's our new game. Come back in a couple minutes where we're playing Whose Penis is Out There. All right. I'm moving on. I'm sorry I brought this whole Shakespeare thing. But that was fascinating to me. They're going to make a documentary about it.
No, it is fascinating.
You know,
I love that story.
On Shakespeare's grave, you know, on his tombstone, it reads, "Cursed be he that moves my bones."
Oh, no.
So maybe someone has the Shakespeare curse.
Okay.
And then they start talking about whose penis is out there. So you never know.
You ever
I
read
just
that?
Googled whose penis is missing and some weird stuff is coming up.
I bet. Yeah. Sad news. Ken Howard. Very talented and charming actor. Famous for his roles as TV's The White Shadow. And Thomas Jefferson in 1776 in the movie and on Broadway. Won a Tony and an Emmy. He was also the president of SAG and ONE, the ONE Guild, once they merged with AFTRA. He has passed away at the age of 71. So. And former Major League Baseball catcher and broadcaster Joe Garagiola. He was 90 years old, part of the NBC broadcast team for many, many years. Played ball for the Cardinals and also did color for the Diamondbacks. So Joe Garagiola died at 90. He said his life felt longer because he covered baseball. So that was good. He had a lot. He felt like he crammed a lot of extra years into his life because baseball is unbelievably boring.
A lot of us love baseball.
Oh, it's the worst.
And Joe Garagiola was for decades, he did play-by-play on television and radio.
Poor bastard.
He was really, really good at it, too.
Can you imagine a life of just talking about baseball and watching?
He was very casual in his approach to the game.
Yeah, he was casual as opposed to the high, fast-paced, high-energy
baseball. What I'm saying is you didn't get the impression you were listening to a professional announcer. You got the impression you were listening to a dude who just loved baseball just sitting there talking about it. That's what was great about Joe.
It's the worst. Such an awful sport. It really is. Unbelievably, painfully, painfully boring.
You need yourself a team, Ralph. Maybe that's what it is. You're just not invested. Like this year at the start of the season, why don't you like really deep dive into the Phillies, and then you'll be excited every day to see what happens.
No, I don't see that happening. No, thanks for the advice.
Happening for him.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Louis Anderson. Louis, oh, Louis.
Are you kidding me?
No way.
Louis.
The difference.
You cannot be serious.
I am serious.
We're talking to him on the show today.
What?
Yes. He's a guest on the Kevin and Bean Show on his birthday.
Oh, how disappointing for him.
Poor guy.
That's no way to spend a birthday. Mm-mm. He's 63 years old today.
Happy birthday, Louis.
Jim Parsons is 43. Allison Hannigan, we love her. 42 years old. Peyton Manning, quitter. He's 40 years old today. Jessica Chastain, boy, that's a... Right? Who's with me? She's special.
All right.
She is. Okay. 39 years old. And Lake Bell, speaking of special.
Wow.
37 years old today. She's got Bell in her name. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Been looking forward to this all week long. Let's go out to Las Vegas for pregame.com with RJ Bell. Hit it, Steve.
Cause he's RJ.
Yeah, he is. And, of course, pregame.com is the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. How are you, Mr. Bell, sir?
You know, better. I was better when Michigan State was still in the tournament.
Now, I was out on vacation last week, and Kevin is gone this week, but I was very excited to hear your Michigan State pick. What went wrong? How on earth did they lose to Middle Tennessee, and how shocked were you by that, RJ?
Back up a second. You were excited to hear the pick before the game, or
yes.
once you saw that they got upset, you were like, "It's so great that RJ had that."
Oh, well, that was of course, that made me my heart happy as well. But I mean, a lot of people are saying it's one of the greatest college basketball upsets of all time, and it just wreaked havoc with millions of Americans' brackets. I mean, wasn't something like close to 25% of people out there who played predicted Michigan State to win, and 50% predicted them to get to the finals.
Yeah, so certainly not one of the biggest upsets in college basketball history, but when it comes to the NCAA tournament, it's right up there, right? 2 versus 15. Yeah. They were 7.5-point underdogs. Middle Tennessee State was. If you had bet $100, said Middle Tennessee State's going to win, I'm going to put just $100 on it, you would have won $2,500. So they were 25-1 underdogs just to lose the one or to win the one game. So amazing upset. You know, I personally, not only did it kill my bracket with you guys, after a 15-1 start, I was 15-1 on Thursday. And, you know, I follow your producer, Dave, on Twitter. So, you know, I kind of glanced and I didn't see a word from him. And then the next day comes Friday, and Michigan State loses, who I had winning it all. And lo and behold, I think it was like 10 minutes later, he's tweeting out, ha, 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 RJ in Vegas. And I was like, I can't believe not a word when I was 15-1. But he, within 10 minutes, he's tweeting out when my champion loses.
Yeah, yeah, that's tough. It's hey, look, you're in a very public position where it's your losses are going to be, you know, big news because you're a pretty good percentage. You know?
Well, listen, let's be honest. Some of that may be true, but this is just more about you guys loving. This is like the fourth time I've competed with you guys in a bracket. I haven't won yet. And it's like having, you know, Doyle Brunson sitting down. And again, I won't commit myself to Doyle Brunson in poker, but like having a pro sit down and you guys beating him in poker. You're just loving it. Be honest.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. So what's the action like? Of course, you know, everybody gets in at the start of the tournament. What's the action like for Sweet 16? Does it get bigger every weekend leading up to the final game?
You know, the final weekend, it is bigger. So Final Four on next Saturday and then the championship game on Monday. Sweet 16 is weird because the games aren't super big yet, the individual games, because there's eight of them. Mm-hmm. But then what you don't have is all the bracket frenzy, because really such a big chunk of the betting on the NCAA tournament March Madness is about those brackets. Because let's be honest, there's not a lot of college basketball hardcore fans. I mean, February, Tuesday night, you know, there's a Pac-12 game on. Not a lot of people are engaged with that. So what gets people super excited is that first 4 days, all the brackets. So, yes, these games are bigger. There's some really good games. But I would say it's that kind of like the middle child and not as much excitement this weekend as you have the first or the last.
Gotcha. Well, after last weekend with all of those double-digit teams that were upsetting the, you know, number one and number two seeds, and with all those buzzer beaters and the overturn calls, I mean, you couldn't have asked for more action. What do you expect this weekend?
Well, what I think you got to understand is this. You hear Cinderella, Cinderella, and it's exciting, but every level of the tournament, each round, has a ceiling where if your seed is above that, if your seed is above that ceiling, it's almost impossible for you to proceed. So just to kind of talk about it real quick, is in the Sweet 16, there's been 512 teams in the modern era make the Sweet 16. Only nine have been seeded worse than a 12 seed. So this year, there's none worse than a 12, so it kind of makes sense. So as you go to the Elite Eight, it's never worse than an 11, hardly ever. As you go to the Final Four, hardly ever worse than a 9. Then finally, the champion has been a 4 seed or better 26 of the last 27 seasons. So for all the talk about Cinderella and upsets, remember, each step of the way, there's a ceiling, and we've got that, you know, available, the exact numbers. And I think that history tells us that's going to continue. So as you watch the tournament, expect these higher seeds not to get past a certain point.
Now, I wanted to ask you about that Cinderella name tag that a lot of teams get. I mean, Gonzaga is a perennial Cinderella. What are they? Were they like a 10 seed, I want to say? Something
yeah,
like
this year, if Gonzaga hadn't won their conference tournament, they would not have made the tournament, is what most people believe. So, yes, but certainly a name of a smaller school.
I just wonder how they can be a Cinderella team almost every year, though, because they've had so much success in the tournament. They never win it, but they always play into the tournament. It seems like, are you still a Cinderella team if you show up every year?
Well, listen, I think it's about the power conferences, because if you look at the Final 16 right now, there's 15 from the power conferences, and there's only five of those power conferences, and then you got Gonzaga. So my sense is, like Boise State in football would be a good analogy of that, right? Boise State has had some great years, but if they play in a BCS bowl game, one of the big bowls, it's a Cinderella-type situation. So I think it's more about the program itself, the size of the school, and the conference. Obviously, a lot of success from Gonzaga, and it's very interesting. They're one of the handful of teams, and it's a small handful, only one actually in the Sweet 16, that is the worst seed but is favored. And there's been 10 of those so far before Gonzaga this weekend or in the next day or two. And Vegas has been right. So imagine this for a second. Is the committee says one team's better than the other because of the seedings. Vegas says, no, committee, you are wrong. We think the worst-seeded team is better. 10 times so far in the tournament, 7 times Vegas has been right, 3 times the committee's right. So once again, Vegas showing they know more than the committee, I think.
That is impressive. We're on the line with RJ Bell, by the way, from pregame.com, talking about the Sweet 16. So at this point, it's pretty good money to bet on a North Carolina or a Kansas or Virginia, maybe, right? I mean, that would be an easy, obvious bet, but you're likely to win it, right?
Well, here's what I'll say. They're the favorites for sure. This is a year, though, of more parity than any time I can remember. What does parity mean? No dominant team or a couple teams and a lot of teams with a chance. So North Carolina is the favorite, 4-1. 100 wins you 400 if they end up winning it. Kansas next, 5-1. Virginia next, 6-1. Then everyone else is in double digits, but everyone has a decent chance. Even the last three teams, the biggest long shots, Wisconsin, Syracuse, Notre Dame, 50-1. So yeah, 50-1 is a long shot, but a reasonable shot. So this is just a season like unlike any other in that pretty much every one of these teams has a chance, and there certainly is no dominant team. You can remember last year, Kentucky was a team that people were talking about being an all-time great. They were about even money against the field this time last year. So imagine the favorite this year, 4-1, the favorite last year, even money.
All right, RJ, it's time for the moment of truth here. Michigan State was your pick to win it all. Of course, they can't at this point. Who are you going with now? Who's your favorite now to see cutting down the nets?
So a second chance for Dave to make fun of me is what you're saying. All right. So what I will say is this. If you do like the individual games, anybody, I like Oregon a good bit over Duke. Line's about 3. Duke's way overrated this year. Big name, but not a great team. When it comes to the individual teams, I'm going to go with the favorite, the chalk, North Carolina. I think it's a situation where they're so deep and they have so much size, and that's what you need. You got to win 4 more games at this point. It feels like you're a long way into it in the Sweet 16, but you've won 2 games as a team. You've got 4 more to go. I want consistency, so I'm going to go with North Carolina.
Well, there's so much coverage. And by the way, I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but I see you put up a podcast where you do a breakdown on every single game for the Sweet 16 this weekend. I definitely want to listen to that. That sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. You can get all that at pregame.com and follow the action all weekend long. It's going to be a fun, fun weekend. God, we love college basketball, don't we, RJ? And it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye. 'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Well, you could have flown down for it, like a real fan.
I can walk. It's a good.
That was a moment with Bean.
Well said.
That guy makes a lot of sense. I don't know what you're talking about. All right, how about some Ralph Garman showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean show? What's going on?
How about it? How about that new Sarah Palin TV show, right? Yeah.
She wants to be a TV judge or
yes,
something?
Yes, a courtroom reality show.
Uh-huh.
She will lay down the law.
Is she a lawyer?
Not so much.
Okay.
Doesn't have a law degree and has never really been a judge.
So?
But she's going to lay down the law.
How?
With her mighty fist of law.
Okay.
But she's not qualified to make a judgment on things like that.
When
right?
Is not being qualified for something ever stopped her from doing something?
Well, that's true.
Right? Speaking of television, Netflix has picked up a new series called Maniac, starring Emma Stone and Jonah Hill. How about them doing a TV series together?
Right.
Both of them will play patients in a mental institution, and Jonah will play a guy who lives a fantasy life. So everything happens to him is in his fantasies.
Okay. I had some fantasies about Emma Stone in my day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's encouraging.
You know what I'm saying?
Hello? I get it. Yeah.
You sing on?
Yep. I get it.
Orlando Bloom and Katy Perry are still madly in lust. The UK's Daily Mail tabloid spotted the two of them just making out like bandits.
Isn't that refreshing that a lesbian couple can make out in public now? It doesn't mean anything.
This is insinuating Orlando Bloom's a lady.
He's very pretty.
Get that.
Yeah, they were making out in Malibu last week, and they're quite serious, say insiders. They have keys to one another's homes.
Well, wow. I've made copies of keys before.
Not
it didn't
copies,
mean it was serious.
Not your kind of crazy break-in mentality.
Oh.
And sad news, if you're a baseball fan.
Is that the end of your story?
Yes. It's just sad news if you're a baseball fan. Sad news for everyone. Joe Garagiola. A famous broadcaster for many, many years on NBC, covered a lot of baseball, and he also did play-by-play and color for several teams in the National Baseball Club Association Union. I don't know. What do they call it?
Major League Baseball?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. He's passed away at the age of 90.
I had a weird experience yesterday because I was very sad to hear that Mr. Garagiola had passed because I was a fan, but I also thought he had been dead for many, many years, so I couldn't be that upset.
So you weren't even pre-sad? You were?
I didn't know he was still alive because he's been out of the limelight for so long, and he's 90 now, and I really, if you'd have asked me, I would have said, oh, yeah, that dude died years ago, but... He was great on TV. He was a former host of the Today Show. Did you know that, Ralph?
I didn't, no.
Yeah. He used to be one of those guys.
One of those Today Show guys?
Yes.
Wow, that's something. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Lake Bell is 37 years old today. Jessica Chastain celebrates her 39th birthday. Peyton Manning is 40. Allison Hannigan's 42.
Hi, Allison.
Actor Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory turns 43 years old today. And comedian Louis Anderson.
Hi, Louis. How are you?
He's 63 years old today. He's going to be on the show today, right?
He is.
8:30.
So excited.
Wow. That's,
I love baskets.
That's pretty cool.
Ralph, you're missing out by not watching this basket. And I know you said you're at peak TV. You can't watch it all. But
I can't watch
it's a half
any
hour
more
show.
Television than I
it's
do.
It's a half-hour show, and Zach Galifianakis is on it, and he's great.
Look, so
look
good.
I'm envious of people like you and Allie who just have sad, empty lives. I'm envious because you can just fill up all that time with television watching. But sadly, I have such a rich, full life that it's hard for me to squeeze in all the sloth-like television watching that you guys do. So you guys are the best.
Well, look, if you make
I'm
the decision to have
that way.
Kids, then you're a sucker.
Yeah. Right? Ew, always like, ew, feed me, bathe me. That's so gross. They take up so much time.
Seriously.
We're
what's
the
wrong
best
with you breeders?
Being... Yeah.
I have to go take a shower. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Later on this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to comedian Quincy Jones, who really got the worst of all possible news a few months ago when he was told that he had inoperable cancer and would die soon. But isn't it so inspiring, Allie, to see the way he has rallied and the way he has reacted to that news?
And how the comedy community has rallied around him as well. It's unbelievable. It's a beautiful story, really.
It's a beautiful story. He's decided to spend his last few months making others laugh. And we'll talk to Quincy Jones coming up in about 25 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. First, though, when we woke up to that awful news about the terrorist attack in Brussels the other day, Allie and I had the exact same thought, which was if this happened a year from now, we would be turning on our TVs and President Donald Trump would have thoughts on the matter. So we thought we might find out what's going on with the presidential front runner for the Republican Party, Donald Trump. It's time for another Trump date.
He's the guy you love to hate. It's time for the Trump date.
Sit down.
Sit down indeed. Mr. Trump, the next president of the United States. How are you, sir?
I am amazing, terrific, unbelievably great.
You're doing great. Well, you should feel good about where you're at right now. You're looking like the a cinch to be the Republican nominee for president.
Well, the truth is, everyone loves me. America loves me, and they want to be great again. And it's amazing and wonderful and unbelievable and amazing and also great.
I'm not sure everyone.
You do have the best words.
You do have the best words.
I have the
though.
Best
yes.
words, and I'm the best talk of the talk maker.
Right.
Well said.
So you did a bunch of interviews the morning that we learned of the attack in Europe, and you said repeatedly that Belgium is no longer Belgium. What do you mean by that, sir?
Belgium is now Bledgem.
Well, that doesn't. It's still called Belgium. The country hasn't changed its name.
Sit down.
Isn't
I've
that
got
true?
The best people on this. It's now called Bledgem.
Bledgem is what it's called now. Okay, and your plan would be much like here in the United States. Is it's time for all countries to close their borders to everybody? No one can ever go from one country to another country now, right?
Time for us all just to stay home. Don't mm-hmm. go anywhere. It's what I do. I live in an amazing, amazing apartment. It's unbelievable. It's got gold everywhere. Gold toilet paper. I wipe my butt with gold toilet paper.
Oh, wow.
That sounds expensive.
And just stay home. Just don't go anywhere. And this way, we keep everybody out.
Uh-huh. Well, that's no way to live your life, though.
Sit down.
Okay.
You don't know.
Well, I do.
Get her out of here. Someone punch her.
So, well nobody's going to hit a woman. There's no cause for that at all.
Let's be equal. Why shouldn't everything be equal? Why can't we punch women, right?
Because we shouldn't be. Why do we need to punch anybody? Why can't we just have a conversation with these great words that you have, Donald?
Listen, words, first of all, are useless, okay? They're useless. A punch in the face, that really gets your point across. So let's all
Donald,
punch each other and make America great.
That's what will make America great. The question that you have been asked repeatedly, and as have
yes,
Bernie Sanders,
I have a huge dong.
Ted Cruz, everybody has been asked is, look, you're about to be president. One of you will be president. How are you going to stop ISIS? Because it seems like it's impossible to stop somebody from strapping a bomb onto his chest and walking into an airport. How are you going to not let that happen anymore?
More punches. It's simple. If everybody starts punching everybody else, then people will be afraid. And that's what you want, a lot of fear. Because fear makes you think about what you're going to do. It's
so
important. You have to think. Like me, I always think about what I'm going to say before I say it. And that's why I'm the greatest maker of words that come out of a face.
Okay. So your answer is just everyone should hit everybody in the face all day long, every day.
And that will make America great.
That'll make America great.
And
okay.
Bruised.
All right.
It doesn't
let's
sound like a great plan. I'll just say it right now.
Someone punch her.
Okay. See,
nobody's going to punch her. All right. Let's move on to the campaign itself. Ted Cruz is really the only thing left standing between you and the nomination. And you guys have gotten into a little bit of a kerfuffle that involves your wives. Can you explain what's going on, Mr. Trump?
First of all, excellent use of kerfuffle.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
The best words.
Thank
huge,
you.
Huge, huge use of words right there. Lying Ted. Lying Ted put a picture out there of my beautiful wife, naked. And by the way, she's so incredibly hot, right?
She's attractive, yes.
You would never stop having an erection if you were married to her.
She is attractive, although I doubt you could still get an erection.
She's the hottest woman ever in the history of all women.
Well, I don't know if that's true, but she would be a pretty first lady.
All mine.
But Ted Cruz didn't have anything to do with that photo that was put out. That was done by somebody else in a Republican super PAC or something. They put it out to suggest that
Lying Ted was behind it.
He wasn't behind it, but people in
Ted was behind it. I know it. I know these things. These things I know. These are things that are known to me.
All right. So let's assume for a minute, even if Ted was behind it, although it's been proven that he wasn't. So he was trying to discourage people in Utah, a very religious state, trying to get to the Mormons, saying, don't vote for Donald Trump because this whore is going to be your first lady. Vote for Ted Cruz instead. So how did you respond to that? What did you do back?
Well, I tweeted, Lying Ted better stop with this kind of BS or I was going to spill the beans about his wife.
Okay. So now you're making threats about Ted Cruz's wife.
That's
what are you
right.
going to do? Like, what do you have on her, and is this a dignified way to run a campaign to basically just be – I mean, this is schoolyard bullying is what this is.
He started it. He did it first.
Good defense.
He did it first. Right?
He did.
No!
But the way you respond to that is with grace and dignity.
No.
You're running for the president of
the
United States.
His wife.
And what does that mean? What do you have on Ted Cruz's wife?
First of all, oh, God, she's ugly, right?
She's not ugly.
I mean,
she's
even to be with him and his needle-nosed face, she is ugly.
She's actually
unbelievable.
A very pretty woman, but that doesn't matter. Why are you spilling the beans on his wife? Why are wives part of your campaign?
First of all, ugly, right?
Again, no.
I'm literally going to spill beans on her.
Oh,
I'm gonna
it was literal.
I'm going to get a can of baked beans, and I'm going to spill it all over her.
Huh.
And that'll make her smelly.
Okay. All right.
I'll show him.
All right. I have to. We're almost out of time here, Mr. Trump.
Unbelievably smelly.
Okay. I have to ask.
His wife is smelly.
just seemed like
my new idea.
I don't think that's
we just heard him come up with that right on the spot.
I have to go tweet. I'll be right back.
Okay, yeah, thanks for joining us, Donald. Belly. Okay, bye bye.
Sit down.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Jim Rome at 8 o'clock. Louis Anderson next hour as well. That's going to be a lot of fun. And don't forget, at 5 o'clock again this afternoon, we've got a pair of sold-out three-day passes for you to enjoy weekend number one of Coachella and access to the K-Rock Coachella house. Plus, you qualify to drive home in a brand-new 2016 Jeep Renegade. Just 22 days until Coachella. Dave, you're going to Coachella, right?
Hells yeah!
You love it out there.
I do.
It's a pretty good deal. Get a chance to win all that stuff at 5 o'clock this afternoon here on K-Rock. The King of Mexico is in studio with us because it's time for a brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
It's the Internet Roundup.
All the best viral videos of the week and puts them up at krock.com or kevinandbean.com where you can see them at your leisure. We got a great video to get us started here. And I can't understand why Ally McKay doesn't love this video as much as we do, Dave. But this is a cat who's playing a theremin. Now, what's not to like about this, Ally?
I don't care.
But it's a cat playing
neither
a theremin.
Does a cat. So what?
Not only just a cat, it's a cat playing a theremin.
Who cares?
And this cat is having the time of his life. The look on his face when he realizes that he's waving his little arms up in the air like he just don't care, and it's actually making this noise happen. You can just tell how phenomenally intrigued he is with it. It's a great video. Maybe my favorite video of the year. And here's a little bit of what it sounds like when a cat plays a musical instrument.
Okay,
the little
listening
cat is
to
so
you
happy.
Laughing and looking at Dave like so excited about this, that's why I hate it.
Because we enjoy too much.
A little bit.
Yeah. Somebody has taken the People versus O.J. Simpson, which is that awesome Tuesday night show on FX, and they have cut it together as if the show were about Kanye West. And it is very well done. Here's a taste of what it's like, the People versus Kanye.
You were committing a felony. You will be prosecuted.
One term came up a lot.
I ain't saying she a gold digger.
Gold digger.
He always had that temper.
Tell everybody never talk. Don't talk ever again. I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. I am Shakespeare in the flesh. Walt Disney, Nike, Google.
Kanye is overacting in that clip about as much as Cuba Gooding is overacting in the O.J. show, by the way. As you can imagine, with the Batman v Superman movie hitting theaters this weekend, there's lots of superhero stuff in the roundup this week. And this one I found really, really entertaining. It's called The Evolution of Batman in Television and Film. And they go all the way back to the black and white Batman of the 1940s and then all the way up to the current movie. Were you surprised, Dave, how many different animated Batman series there have been over the years?
I had no idea there were so many movies.
Yeah, movies. There's Batman Beyond and Batman Year One and all the Justice League stuff. I mean, if you're a Batman fan, this is going to be your favorite thing ever because it's so much Batman. Check it out.
Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Batman! What's up, babe?
I'm Batman.
Tell me. Do you bleed? You will.
Save right up to the current. And by the way, I was reminded again of how awful the George Clooney Batman was. Just with the 30 seconds that they showed in this of him with Arnold as Mr. Freeze.
Oh, my God. It wasn't great.
Wasn't great. Honest Trailers are back. They thought again with a new Batman film coming out this weekend, they would do their treatment on the 1989 Michael Keaton Batman. I think they did a great job with it.
Witness one of the best superhero castings of all time in Michael Keaton, a man so perfect for the role. His eyebrows are shaped like the logo. He's a reclusive billionaire dressed like your 10th grade English teacher who's so unstable.
Now you want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts.
It actually feels plausible he would pretend to be a bat and beat up poor people.
I think your friend Wayne has really screwed up.
You got to watch that whole thing. It's so well done, as is the next Honest Trailers, because they also tackled the Christopher Reeve 1978 Superman movie, too.
And Marlon Brando, who producers were too scared to tell that he was mispronouncing Krypton.
You are the only survivor of the planet Krypton.
Planet Krypton. Planet Krypton.
Yeah, you got it wrong, but would you correct the Godfather?
Christopher Reeve is pitch perfect as Superman, a flying Jesus metaphor who is sent to Earth in a Christmas tree ornament.
Very funny stuff. Emma Watson, who we all fell in love with from the Harry Potter movies, I want to say, is just adorable. Yes. And she is doing a sit-down interview for International Women's Week, I think, with Lin-Manuel Miranda, who, of course, is the genius behind Hamilton on Broadway. And she beatboxes, and he freestyle raps about gender equality. And they're having so much fun doing this. And, of course, he has to really talk her into beatboxing because she doesn't want to do it. But she does, and then he lays down his rhymes, and it's pretty funny.
Perfect. Yo, yo, it's Lynn, and I have to laugh. How can we not be equal? We're like half, like women are like half of the people on Earth. And yes, they should have been equal since birth. That means all day, every day, equal pay, every way. Okay, are we really okay?
Very fun.
Emma Watson, great at acting, not at beatboxing.
Maybe that's
her
strongest.
Known for her beatboxing.
Yeah,
so
she doesn't need to.
No.
She's good at so many other things. Yeah. She doesn't. She can pass on that. As you know, there was a new Apple announcement this week about some of their upcoming products, their new iPad, their new iPhone. They got the new iPhone SE. And I have this right, Dave. I haven't been paying a lot of attention, but they've gone back to the 4-inch size on the iPhone, right?
Yes, that's what you want, is a smaller
screen. Did they do that, do you think?
I don't know.
Somebody put together their own parody commercial of the iPhone SE, and I think it tells you what a lot of us are thinking.
The iPhone SE is twice as powerful as the iPhone 5S, a phone that came out 3 years ago. That's right, it's twice as powerful as a 3-year-old phone. Incredible! Oh, don't worry, live photos are back, because we know you totally use those. You can even edit 4K video on it, something you definitely want to do on a 4-inch screen.
He makes some pretty good points there. They caught up with an old crotchety Irishman on the streets of Dublin who was asked, what do you think about the big St. Patrick's Day excitement, especially from the tourists like Americans who come over and want to spend St. Patrick's Day in Ireland? How are you going to enjoy this big day in Ireland? And his reaction, I think, surprised a lot of people.
You going into the parade tomorrow?
I wouldn't be. You know what? I'll stay in the back garden with me dog. I think it's the greatest load of pumps and wumps. All the Americans are over here. Oh, my God. I love this. I love Ireland. They doing my I'm telling you. I hate it.
So he's not a fan of what St. Patrick's Day is.
Man, a couple of grandkids don't go eat his burgers and Papa gets all crazy.
He is. He did look like Papa. You're right about that. Ali, I know you were legitimately sad when you saw the RIP all over social media yesterday about Fife Dog. Now, you're a big Tribe Called Quest fan.
Huge.
And he was your favorite.
He was my favorite MC. I have loved Tribe Called Quest forever. And it's like a soundtrack to my youth and have so many great memories from all their music.
Yeah, it was very sad to see him lose his many health struggles at only 45 years old. Well, here is a guy at WSB Television in Atlanta. He is the weatherman, I want to say, or traffic reporter. Traffic guy. And he is also a big Tribe Called Quest fan. And he figured out a way to do his own Fife Dog tribute by working in lots of lyrics in his traffic report throughout the morning. And it's pretty outstanding.
Fred, we're on a war tour with Mark McKay, my man, going each and every place with Traffic Tracker 2 in his hand. Mark McKay, do that.
You on point, Mark?
Oh, we're on point, Fred, absolutely. Seeing extra delays in from Stone Mountain Freeway, Highway 78, one for the treble, two for the bass. You know the style, Mark McKay. Time to flip this. You can get updates for traffic anywhere you want to go, New York, NJ, NC, VA.
I love
for a,
him
for a
so
white guy, come
much.
On. Pretty impressive, right?
Oh.
You can see all these videos, including the cat playing a theremin, if you missed it. It's the KevinDeBean.com or KRock.com. It's a brand new Kevin DeBean Internet Roundup.
It's the Internet Roundup.
Ow! Minutes away from Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin DeBean Show on KRock, and then our weekly hit with the great Jim Rome just after 8 o'clock. There is a stand-up special being taped coming up pretty soon here on Monday, April 4th at the Terragram Ballroom in downtown L.A. And this is a special a lot of people are suddenly interested in because the man behind the mic on stage is a comedian named Quincy Jones who has the most remarkable story. And he joins us on the K-Rock Morning Show right now. Hey, Quincy, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Thanks so much for joining us. We have been just so thrilled to see all the great news that has been coming your way the past week or so. It must be blowing your mind that this your dream is coming true to do this stand-up special.
It's a ridiculously unreal feeling. I'm so excited, and I feel very lucky and fortunate to have so many people supporting me.
Yeah, you've got some real. You got a lot of fans who love you, and a lot of friends, obviously, who helped get this thing done. Let's give the backstory for folks who don't know. You don't sound like it, but you are a very sick man. What's going on with you, Quincy?
I was diagnosed with stage 4 peritoneal mesothelioma in August, and given a year to live. And that's usually based on the average. And some people live shorter, some people live longer. People ask me what I want. Some friends ask me what I wanted to do within that year, and I said I wanted to film a stand-up special. And we all pulled together, and the LA comedy community pulled together, and we were able to help me get enough money to film a special.
And you've raised over $50,000 to do that. And, I mean, there was a week going by where my whole Twitter timeline was people saying, check out this Kickstarter. This guy's amazing. We have to make this happen. And you're doing this because you want your legacy to be that you brought joy to people.
Yeah, I just realized that, you know, a lot of my friends and, you know, family, they're married. They have kids and pets and all that. And I just realized I didn't have any of that, yet I wanted that. And so I decided to try and, you know, go back to my roots of what I do and at stand-up comedy and leave us and make it special.
How much comedy were you doing before the diagnosis? Were you making a living doing it, Quincy?
No, I was trying to go full-time comedy, mm-hmm. But I wasn't able to. I was still working at coffee shops.
Well, you're like me. You live in Seattle, right? So there's plenty of coffee shops to choose from.
Oh, yeah, and lots of jobs up there for comedy.
Lots of jobs. All right, so this special, do you have an hour's worth of material? Is that how long the show is going to be?
Yeah, I have over an hour's worth of material. So right now what I'm doing is I'm trying to whittle it down and get the structure of what I want it to be like.
You've spent so much time since the diagnosis doing as many hits as you could on stage. I read that sometimes you do 3 sets a night. You'll just go around from club to club and jump up on stage and do it. What is it you get out of stand-up comedy that makes that the way you want to spend, however time you have left, you want to spend so much of it on stage? What's that about, Quincy?
I mean, I love performing. I love the art. I love the art form of comedy. I love the writing process. I love the tweaking it, the fine tuning it. I love take realizing that you can't repeat each set, and that you always have to be in the moment and in the room to adjust and adapt your material. It's a great thing. I really love comedy. So for me, this is just it's perfect that I get to do comedy.
Are there things that the doctors can do for you that we can hold out hope that you'll end up living a lot longer than the initial diagnosis? Is there any positive news on the health front?
Well, the chemo that I take every 3 weeks, that is actually controlling the cancer. So it's not shrinking it, which would be, you know, an ideal, perfect situation. That's what you want to hear. But instead, it's just controlling it. And I just keep doing chemo every 3 weeks until it stops working.
Now, you've raised, like I said, over $50,000, so you were going to get this special made, but now this special is going to be made by HBO. What was that news like when you heard it? And to hear it on, just Ellen DeGeneres' show. No big deal.
I didn't know any of that. HBO decided to distribute it, and I was like, wow. This is way bigger than I ever thought it was possible to be. I never dreamt that I'd get an HBO special. To hear it on Ellen, it felt unreal.
Right.
I thought it almost feels like a gag sometimes.
Oh, and she's known for her gags, but I think this one's serious.
Yeah, this one's real.
That's so much better than going on Ellen and having Justin Bieber jump out from behind a plant and scare you, right?
I'd be very angry if that happened.
Which is the kind of thing they do.
Love his Quincy, album, but very angry if I saw it.
What if you do the special and it airs and everyone thinks you suck? Then what?
Oh, Bean.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying that's likely to happen, but are you concerned about that?
No, I'm not. It's not a possibility, Bean. It's not possible.
We're not happy with Bean and anything he says, really, but
I just think, we were talking about this earlier today, Quincy, in all seriousness. I don't know – how most people – I feel like most people who got the news you got would curl up in a ball and just lay at home and wait to die. And I am so impressed by the way you have handled this that you have not only – figured out a way to fulfill your dreams, but you're doing it by spending time making other people happy. And I can't even imagine a greater legacy than that is a guy who goes down making other people happy. We're so impressed with the grace that you're showing in this very difficult time, Quincy. We become such huge fans of yours just from reading about you.
Oh, thank you so much. For me, it makes me happy to see other people happy. Laughter is the best medicine. And I really feel like that could help prolong my original prognosis, you know. I feel like it just helps everybody. There's not enough laughter out there. And the fact that I get to contribute it to people with my unique observation of life, I mean, I think it's a good feeling. It's a good thing to have and it's a good thing to do.
The special is going to be taped on April 4th at the Terragram Ballroom in Los Angeles. Can people still get tickets and be in the audience, or are we way past that time, Quincy?
We sold out.
We sold out. That's it. Yeah. And we do not yet have a date. HBO is going to be filming it that night, and then they'll announce shortly after when it'll be on the schedule, right?
Right.
Okay.
I think sometimes in June is what we're talking about.
We will definitely be watching. By the way, Quincy's website is hilarious. It's thatsnotquincyjones.com is where you want to go if you want to follow along for the continuing adventures. Quincy, keep doing what you're doing, man. More power to you. I hope you stay healthy for as long as possible. And thank you for doing this special. And thank you for sharing laughter with the world. And thank you for your time on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning, sir.
Thanks a lot, Bean. You guys have a good one.
You too.
Bye-bye. Well done, Ralph. Hey, how about another look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning, Kevin? Show, what's going on?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on. Tomorrow night, I got something going on with a little fellow I like to call Kevin Smith. We're doing our Hollywood Babylon show again. We're back.
No.
Had a couple weeks off because Kevin was up in Canada filming The Flash. He was directing an episode of The Flash. You guys watching The Flash? So good to see.
So good.
I don't watch The Flash. I like The Flash, but I don't watch The Flash.
How does that work? What's the logic behind that? You like it, but you don't watch it.
Same as you. You can't watch it all. It's impossible to keep up with
shows
everything.
Like the
Flash.
Well,
I do. I watch the good shows, but some stuff gets left behind because you can't watch it all. But I got nothing against The Flash. I like it.
Kevin will tell us about that experience. We're going to talk about Batman v Superman, of course, and all the other showbiz news. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood.
Negative, negative, negative.
That guy won't be there. Go to improv.com to get your tickets and more information. Come on out. See Hollywood.
Sounds really undecided.
He's really not going to go. Here's why you don't retire. Have you seen the photos of David Letterman vacationing at St. Bart's?
Yes, I have.
Wow.
It's awesome.
It's not awesome.
Don't ever
retire from anything or else your life is over. How did he become – how did he go from David Letterman to the guy who does those infomercials for poor kids? Remember that guy? I'd be like, this is Jamal. He's starving to death. He's like the big guy with the giant white beard and the bald head.
What?
That guy. You know those commercials.
I just saw him, and I thought Randy Quaid. That's what I saw. That's what he looked like to me.
He's got a giant snow-white Santa beard, and he's completely bald and just looks like...
Who's got a better right? What's he doing? He's having fun. Living his life.
That can't be fun. That beard can't be fun. It has to be... First of all, infested, right? With all kinds of critters.
Once it gets to that point,
there's critters
it's no longer
in there.
Itchy. No, you're just like, yeah, this is my beard. I am
critters.
A dude. Let me build you a house.
He's got critters and nothing good is happening.
But Ralph,
with that
let me ask you this.
If you're shaving the head, shave the face.
Is he shaving the head?
Yeah, he's shaving.
Really?
After 35 years on television or whatever it was, don't you think he loves being able to be anonymous, to be able to walk amongst us and not be David Letterman's superstar that everybody looks at and talks to? I would think
this is a disguise he's doing?
I think he enjoys not being recognized. Sure, why wouldn't he?
See, I'd look more at him. If I saw that guy walking past me, I'd be like, look at that beard.
Like that, I'd be like, who's the mental patient who escaped from the home?
Right, but you wouldn't talk to him.
His beard.
You wouldn't bother him, and he look.
No, I'd
those
run away
those,
from him.
Those pictures, which is perfect if you're David Letterman. Those pictures yesterday.
This is Bean talking. This is his dream life.
Yeah,
it's like
him
no
on the
one
beach
to talk to him ever
in St. Bart's. He's worth $400 million. He's healthy enough to be out jogging. He's enjoying the hell out of his life. I think this is the perfect disguise for him.
I don't think it's a disguise. I think he just doesn't care
just
about shaving.
Up.
He's
yeah.
just like, yeah,
he's
this is
surrendered.
My life.
He's
this
just
is
waiting
sweet.
For sweet, sweet
I'm
death.
I'm going to drink out of a coconut in a minute, you guys. Watch this. He's chilling. He's relaxing. And he deserves every second of it. Call me. I love him so much.
I mean, you don't. Why does it? Why should he look camera ready?
He doesn't
a
look
year
camera ready.
Retirement.
He needs to look life ready. He needs to look like a person ready.
He looks
like a hobo. Looks like a homeless hobo.
He looks like a very wealthy man who doesn't have to care what we think. That's what he looks like to me.
Can't he care a little bit?
Why?
About
why
himself?
Should he? Hasn't Dave given enough? Let Dave have
agreed.
These years. The guy's 70 years old. Let him have this life.
Being a guy who wears pigtails. See, well, Bean has no, there's no connection up with me. Like, well, maybe I should be presentable to walk around the planet. Maybe
but,
other people.
But
would
I think
like
there's something to be
look in some way that's acceptable. No, talk about pigtails in my hair. Just be a lunatic. See, so Bean has no rational relationship with this story.
I'm just saying at a certain point in your life, you care about yourself and your comfort, and you don't care so much what other people think. That's all. And I think Dave's earned that and more power to him. If he wants to grow that beard, if he wants to grow that beard twice as long, more power to him.
Well, I bet his wife's happy with it. She's like, oh, really? Now this is what I get? This is what I have to put up with? That?
If I was married to David Letterman, I'd be stoked every day I woke up and looked at that beard.
I'm telling you, I bet it's not a fun existence.
I bet he washes
being
it.
Being married to Dave Letterman.
Oh, I bet I was talking about the beard stuff.
I'm talking about the price that you pay.
Really?
He seems like he's cranky pants.
I'd let him be.
Meanwhile, Justin Bieber has announced he is no longer doing meet and greets with his fans backstage. Before or after the show. It used to be you could buy a VIP package, apparently, and you could do a meet and greet with him after the show. And those days are over. Why, you may ask? Well, here's why. Justin said, and I quote, "I enjoy meeting such incredible people, but I end up feeling so drained and filled with so much of other people's spiritual energy that I end up so drained and unhappy."
Sit down.
So, huh. It's just too draining to get the spiritual energy from other people, so he has to protect himself.
See, so in other words, he's tired of talking to his fans.
No, he loves it.
He just
but
takes,
he takes on so much,
so much
spiritual
them.
Energy yeah. that it drains him and makes him unhappy.
See, his people had come out at first and said there was a security issue. Somebody
yes.
had gotten by.
ISIS. ISIS was after him.
Let that be the story.
No,
Justin?
He's drained and unhappy, but filled. And also filled up and too much filled and drained.
He could have just said nothing and then people would be like, oh, no, it's scary for
no,
Justin.
No, he should do. He should grow a big white beard. And
there you go.
Everyone will leave him alone.
Nice.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lake Bell's 37 years old today. Jessica Chastain is 39. Peyton Manning.
Quitter.
Cheater.
He's not a cheater. You're the cheater.
Okay.
He's 40 years old today.
You know all that HGH you got delivered to your house, Allie.
Allison Hannigan's 42.
Hi, Allison.
Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory is 43
so weird.
Years old.
Can't.
And comedian
Allison listens to the show. We have heard from her.
A lot of people
just
that he does birthdays have listened to the show.
Yeah.
Right, but I'm just saying,
you
know, we love Allison.
Hi. That to anyone else.
We haven't talked to her in a long time.
Yeah,
you just guaranteed we won't.
Right. You're creepy. And Louie Anderson, very funny man, Louie Anderson.
Hey, Louie!
Hey, Louie!
Hey!
Hi, Louie!
Hey, Louie!
He's 63. I'm
30 minutes from right now, we talked to Mr. Anderson, by the way.
All right. You know, it's a quick story about Louie Anderson. We don't have time. But
we do.
No, we have time. Go ahead.
I used to work out at this boxing gym with my trainer, Steve Petromalo, who's a great boxing trainer. If you ever need one, look him up. So we were in the gym, and I'm working the heavy bag, and Louie Anderson is down two heavy bags down. He's working the heavy bag, right? And so he's like, he's punching the heavy bag. And so I said, hey, Louie, you're working out hard there. He's like, yeah, I think I could be a professional boxer. And I said, really? Is that a goal of yours? He said, well, my first sport was always horse racing. I wanted to be a jockey.
See, he's unlikely to be a jockey.
It's funny because he's like 300 pounds.
Right.
And it was funny.
Yeah.
Right?
I love him. He's great.
That's a good story. I will allow it.
I wanted to be a jockey. Made me laugh. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ for a Thursday morning. Thursday just after 8 means our favorite time of the whole week. We catch up with our friend, the great Jim Rome. Stream him anytime at jimrome.com. How are you, sir?
Mediocre Jim Rome. Here for duty. What's up, guys?
It's a pleasure to talk to you. I'm sorry that your friend Kevin is on vacation this week, but we will muddle through. We got a lot of great stuff to talk about in sports today. None of it has to do with the NCAA tournament, which is also very exciting. But why don't we start with some football news? I thought that the jury was pretty much in that football causes brain injuries, but apparently not everybody's willing to admit that out loud yet, Jim.
No, certainly the guys who benefit from it not causing brain injury, like Jerry Jones. Crazy old Jer Bean got to bumping his gums, and when he was asked if there was a connection between CTE or brain trauma and football, he sounded like he was concussed. He said, quote, no, that's absurd. There's no data in any way that creates a knowledge. There's no way that you can make a comment that there's an association. Medicine is evolving. I grew up being told that aspirin was not good, end quote. Yeah, very timely take there, Grandpa.
Yeah. Hey,
when this guy grew up, they probably had doctors come in and attach leeches to his legs, then they'd mash up some roots. I mean, come on, Pops. There is some evidence.
I get it, and I understand that it does take a while for everything to be widely accepted. I mean, there was a time where doctors used to smoke, and they thought nothing of it, and then they found out that that was maybe not so good for you. But I thought the NFL had kind of turned a corner on this. Didn't they have that guy who was in the news a couple of weeks ago who's like with the health department in the NFL or something, who said, yeah, there's absolutely a correlation? I mean, I thought the NFL came out and admitted it.
They did. This guy's name is Jeff Miller, and he's the NFL's VP of Health and Safety, and he admitted recently there is a link. And so somebody got a hold of him and he tried to walk it back. The thing is, Boston University did this study of 94 ex-NFL players. 90 of the 94 had CTE. So in a sense, Grandpa Jarrett is right when he says we need more research. But pretty much everything that guy said this week, to use his own term, is absurd. Yeah, you know how it is. Tell yourself something enough times, eventually you'll start to believe it.
I know it's a much he is the worst. It's a much bigger issue than we can handle here, Jim. But is there anything the NFL can do to prevent brain injury if we're going to play football the way we now enjoy football?
You know, they're doing everything they can to make the game safer, but I really don't know how you take that element. And again, I'm no doctor. This is just, to me, common sense. If you've got guys that big running into each other that many times in practice and in games, and they do it long enough, I'm guessing there's going to be some brain trauma. So right. I don't know how you can really make that game that much safer. It's inherently a violent, violent game.
And that's why we're starting to see guys retire pretty young, and that's probably going to be the habit that they're going to get into, right, is they're not going to want to subject their bodies to that for 15 years.
Well, I think that's part of it. I think you see guys now that are leaving the game earlier, and I think even more long-term than that. And again, I don't think that it's going to ever change dramatically or completely, but then you have parents that are not going to let their kids play football. Then you have some other athletes. I've talked to pro athletes that have said, you know what, if I look at this, it's that dangerous. Why not play baseball? Longer career, more money, guaranteed contracts, and it's not that dangerous. So I think when you look at it from that standpoint, it's a big concern for the NFL.
Plus, you can be totally out of shape.
And play baseball.
Yeah.
That's right. That's a good point,
Allie. You're confusing baseball with golf, Allie.
I don't know.
New topic. I didn't think we'd ever be talking about Tonya Harding again, but there is a movie that is being made that has a pretty good pedigree, by the way, with some real stars in it. But you've got some problems with the casting, Jim. Why?
Hey, can we be just clear about this? This is one of the most insane stories in the history of sports. I mean, can you imagine back in the day, Tonya sitting with her goons and saying, what are we going to do? I can't beat Nancy Kerrigan. No matter how hard I try, no matter what I do, I can't beat her. Wait, I know. When she walks off the rink, bang her in the knee with a lead pipe. Yeah, that's it. Good answer. That'll work. How is this movie not made already? The problem
I have
with it.
Yeah, that's a great point, by the way. It is one of the most insane things that ever happened. And it's
ever.
Real. This isn't like some fan fiction that was made up. That happened for Olympians.
No. If that happened, if somebody in Hollywood can make all these movies they want, and, you know, some work, some don't. But if anybody ever tried to make that movie without that happening, nobody would ever believe it. But it did happen. The issue I have is they're casting Margot Robbie, a stunning actress, to play white trash Tonya. That's not good. Exactly how is that going to work? Margot Robbie. Hey, remember when Tanya, guys, when she had to turn to celebrity boxing because there was nothing left? I mean, that's pretty much the bottom rung of the ladder, right? Celebrity boxing. And she beat down Paula Jones. Who's going to play her? Kate Upton?
Look, Allie, weren't you saying yesterday that maybe this is going to be like a Charlize Theron monster situation where they're just going to ugly her up?
She wins an Oscar for
it. She wins an Oscar for it.
I think that's exactly the model. That's what they're hoping for. But, I mean, you can do a lot of things with makeup, but there's no way in hell you make Margot Robbie look like Tanya. If she can pull this off like Charlize Theron, she will deserve an Oscar, but she's going to have to hit the performance out of the park. In fact, she's going to have to put it in the ground. You like that?
Jim, bring his own audio, you guys.
You like that?
That was strong.
Alvin, do it again.
Put me in the ground.
There you go. But at least if they follow the story through the Tanya Harding sex tape, now maybe you're not so angry that Margot Robbie is playing the role, right?
Ah, that's interesting. Hadn't thought about it that way. I forgot that Tanya had a sex tape.
Exactly.
Most of us did.
Yeah, that was probably pretty hot.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Yeah, and I think it was in the
trailer. I did not see that, never will.
All right, final story, and we do go back to baseball just for a second. Spring training is a funny time, isn't it? Because you're there to get in shape and get a refresher course on how to play the game, but it's also kind of loose and kind of fun. What's Joe Madden doing with the Chicago Cubs at spring training?
You know, it is fun, and it's kind of funny, but this is not. Joe Madden is the manager of the Cubs, and he's kind of like this nutty, kooky genius who keeps the clubhouse loose. He uses unorthodox means to get the most out of his guys, and it works. Except this time, he invited a mime to practice. I said a mime.
No!
Those painted-up street freaks with the white gloves. You know, mimes who convince themselves that they're actually artists. Mimes.
Why?
Let me tell you something. Allie, if annoying adults and traumatizing kids is an art form, then these gentlemen are Pablo Picasso in black tights and a beret.
What would he be doing at spring training?
Exactly. I mean, what? Are you going to have Chris Bryant, a Cubs star, pretend like he's trapped inside that box? Is Anthony Rizzo going to stretch out, pretending like he's caught in a windstorm? Is Jake Arrieta going to get loose with the old pull the rope routine?
I'm now super
mimes.
Into this.
Listen, they haven't won a championship in over 100 years, and mimes have annoyed every single person they've come in contact with for the last 1,000. If the franchise was not cursed before, it is now. This guy brought in a mime. Great manager, terrible idea.
I have seen stills. Is there any video of the mime on the practice field?
None that I've seen. Okay. None that I've seen.
I love that. Wouldn't it be hilarious, though, if somehow the Cubs just caught fire and now the mime had to travel everywhere?
Wait, actually,
the
there is, guys. There is. Actually, there's video. You can see it.
Oh, fantastic. I got to check it out. Oh, all right, 9 to noon. If you want to hear the show live at jimrome.com, thank you so much. Have a great vacation next week. We'll catch up with you when you get back. You're the best, Jim.
Bye, guys. Get your mime on.
We got your Coachella tickets. 5 o'clock this afternoon, a pair of sold-out 3-day passes to the festival, plus access to the K-Rock Coachella house, which is a lot of fun. And you qualify to drive home in a new 2016 Jeep Renegade. 5 o'clock this afternoon here on the world-famous K-Rock. Don't miss it. Just 22 days until the festival. Allie, who do you think should be the new host of K-Rock's Love Line?
Oof. That's tough.
It's a tough one, right?
Yeah, because Mike, obviously, when he mentioned he was going to be leaving, everybody started thinking, well, who can fill in? Who's got, you know, the chops, the radio chops? You have to be funny, but you have to be empathetic.
Yep.
So we suggested Beer Mug, and then we heard his audition tape. And
yeah, it may not be a good fit. I think
Mugs
is
the best.
Mugs is good at a lot of things, like stuffing Shake Shack in his mouth, but maybe doing Love Line isn't for him. You're right. You do need a very special type of Hall of Fame broadcast professional.
Yeah.
And I think we've got the audition tape that's going to nail it for a young man I like to call Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show.
This is Love Line.
Love Line.
It makes sex even better.
Everybody, you're listening to Love Line on with me and Dr. Pudrinsky on radio, and call us Love 1-800-1-800-1-800 Love I9I. You're on the call. Go ahead on the phone.
Hi, Kevin and Dr. Drew. I was wondering if you had some advice on how I can get my girlfriend to have a threesome with me and another girl.
Oh, it's very not hard, not easy to make do that. So first you have to find four other people for a threesome.
Oh.
And then you go, when you're going, ask her first, hey, you, on all the, you know, the terrorist situations?
What? I want to try to get her to have a threesome with me.
I know, that's why I'm saying, if you are not first, you must have a girlfriend.
I do have a girlfriend. I'm trying to get her to have a threesome.
All right, then, why don't you... Here's an idea. Try to have a threesome.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I want to do that.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I want my girlfriend to have a threesome with me and another girl. How do I get her to do that?
Oh, okay. First of all, you must always have a friend. She must have a friend that you are also interested in having a threesome.
This is not helpful at all.
No, listen, okay, first,
oh, Kevin,
you have a girlfriend, right? B, you are also looking for another woman also. And L, you're trying to talk to her into it.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I've often eat mac and cheese because it was, you know, did you know? Mac and cheese is... Mac is short for macaroni.
Oh, no.
Hello? Oh. I think I hung up on him. That's my bad. That's on me. That's my bad, Dr. Pudrinsky.
We have a winner, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to the world-famous Carrick at 106.7 KROQ. By the way, Allie McKay, I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
Our April Foolishness, mm-hmm. 8th annual April Foolishness at the Shrine Auditorium coming up on April 2nd.
Yes.
I think that's a week from, is it possible that's a week from Saturday?
It's so possible because it is a week from Saturday.
A week from Saturday,
yeah.
Everybody. Some of the very outer seats are available, the cheap, cheap seats, if you'd still like to join us for that great night of comedy with all proceeds going to some terrific local charities. And you know, we did the opening act contest. We are sifting through those every day after the show, and we're going to narrow that down to a top 10 for you that we'll unveil on Monday morning on the Kevin Amede Show. So you can vote and help us decide who gets to open the show at the Shrine on April 2nd. Go to KROQ.com for all the details. Speaking of comedy, our next guest is a national treasure. He has been, well, Comedy Central said he was one of the top 100 greatest stand-up comedians of all time, and has been so for the last 30 years all over this great land of ours, and has made memorable appearances in all sorts of TV shows and movies throughout the years. But he is, am I right about this, a revelation on Baskets on FX.
He's magic.
He is magic, and ever since the show first dropped earlier this in its first season on FX, we have been begging to get the great Louis Anderson on the show so we could talk to him about it, and he joins us on K-Rock right now. Mr. Anderson, what a thrill, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Great.
We're fantastic, and we would be remiss if we did not start with some personal business and wish you a very sincere happy birthday, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Do you kind of feel like things aren't going your way if you're up at the crack of ass doing radio interviews on your birthday? Like, haven't you earned a better birthday than that, Louis?
You know, I feel like I'm 20 years old again, you know? That's how, you know, when you start out in comedy, you do radio because nobody will have you on TV yet. And then mm-hmm. radio is really the best friend to a comic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, because what we want are people in the seat, and we want them to come and see the show. And radio gives you enough time to do your material, and usually people who are the hosts of the shows and radio, they appreciate comedy. They're the people who really push us. And so, you know, I have a soft spot in my heart for radio, especially, I just can tell you, you know, that was the first thing I did is I go – I couldn't get people to come and see me, and I got on the radio, and people showed up.
Yeah, no, it absolutely works that way. And we have a lot of comics on this program who say the same thing. I mean, that's about 40% of their job is making sure to get into town in time to promote their gigs. And you know, you're lucky now that you've earned it. You're at the point where you don't have to worry about that. People see your name and they go. We had Zach Galifianakis on right as Baskets was getting to premiere earlier this year. And he told us that you were cast as his mom on the show, Chip Baskets' mom, Christine. And, of course, you know, it's funny when you hear him say that, but we were in no way prepared for the way you play this character. I mean, you are Christine Baskets, and you play this thing completely straight. You're not a man in drag. You're a woman. Is that how you feel when you do the role, Louis?
Yeah, you know, I really try to disappear. I try to make Louis disappear in the show. And, you know, I really don't let anyone call me Louis. I don't let him write Louis on the dressing room door. I just don't respond to it. Even the extras and people, you know, who are there, I don't, you know, I just do the part from a really real place, some really real place.
And is there any woman in mind that you thought about when you first started playing Christine, or is it just a character that you created whole cloth?
Well, you know, I've always been my mom in my act. You know, I've alluded to her several times. And, you know, I just feel like that's who I'm playing. That's the person I'm playing there. You know, a part of her at least. Because... you know, my mom had raised 11 kids. She put up with my dad. She had a lot of heartache, and she was a person who could find joy even in a bottle of DeSante water. And that's where I get, that's where I draw from. I draw from that whole idea that even water can excite the character. And she can just find the silver lining and everything, and that's really what I try to draw on. And so it's my mom, my five sisters, and when I'm mean in it, I play my dad a little bit.
When we had Zach on before the premiere, he was talking about when they were thinking about casting, and he said that he was talking to Louis C.K., and he said, I just want someone like Louis Anderson's voice to play my mom. And Louis said, well, let's call him. When you got that phone call from Louis, what the heck went through your head?
Well, you know, first of all, I loved getting a call from Louis C.K. I mean, that's, you know, that's royalty right now, right, in comedy, sure. And when he said, we want you to do a part, I said, yeah. And then he said, we want you to play Zach's mom. And I said, yeah. I go, yippee-yi-yo, you know. And I just said, let's make this thing something really special. And, you know, they have Jonathan Kreisel. You know, he's the director from Portlandia and many mm-hmm. other things, Saturday Night Live and movies. And he just walked us through and he said, think of this as a 3.5-hour movie.
Oh, interesting.
That you're making.
Interesting.
And so we did. And I had to keep it secret. You know, we kept it secret for a whole year that I was even in the show. And then when people found out I was in the show, I used to tell people, they go, what part do you play? I go, I play his trainer. And that made people always laugh, so then they didn't bother me about it.
Oh, I love it. Well, I have been on board, so has Bean, since the first episode, and it is such a magical show between your relationship with Zach's Chip and then Martha. Oh, my God. I'm so glad that this show has introduced people to Martha. She's amazing. What is it like working with these people day in and day out?
You know, they're just, you know, Chip picked people he really liked, and Martha is just a great comedian. In fact, Martha and I are in New York right now at Caroline's. We open tonight.
Oh, wow.
The same night is the finale for Baskets, and we're going to be live tweeting and watching the finale with the crowd that shows up to watch us do stand-up. So
cool.
I'm really in love with all the characters. You know, there's three stand-ups. What's better than being able, as a stand-up, to play against two other stand-ups and have so damn much fun? And you never know what's going to happen. Zach is always trying to surprise me. He throws from scissors to bottles of water at me. So I just try to keep up with Zach Galifianakis, an unbelievable actor. You know that.
Oh, he really is. And we were so surprised. I mean, obviously delighted to hear that he was going to have a show on FX, but we had no idea what to expect. And it's unlike anything else because there are times where it's laugh out loud funny, but then there are a lot of scenes, particularly with your character, Christine, that are just heartbreaking. You just feel like you're watching the most dramatic movie ever. I mean, there's so much going, you know, so many, such a wide variety of emotions that go through every half hour. I think that's why we get so invested in the characters, is they seem so real.
And, you know, I've spent about a week in the writer's room so far, you know, the second season writer's room. And they are cooking up some of the most fantastic things. You can't believe how fantastic this you know, this season is going to be. And I just am, I am thrilled, you know. It's going to be, you know, like Jonathan, the sky's the limit with Jonathan Kreisel and with Louis and Zach. And what they're trying to do is, you know, they're trying to make something really special, and I just stand back and do my little part in it.
Well, yep. This is a role of a lifetime for you. Do you feel that as well?
I do. I feel like, I feel two things about it. It's a chance for me to show people what kind of actor I am, but more than that, it's a chance for my mom to kind of get her little toe in show business, because, you know, she always had that way about her that she could have been a star, and she just, you know, she raised 11 children, and so it's my homage to her and all my great sisters, and to say, hey, this, I'm going to play the woman that I learned to grow up around, and see if I can, you know, do justice to the role. And also, I really, you know, play a mother. I really am very protective over, you know, the characters Chip and Dale and the twins and everybody. I try to be very maternal, and I will do anything to protect them, and you'll see that in the next season.
Can't
wait.
You just made me cry.
The season finale of Basket Season 1 airs tonight at 10 p.m. on FX. And if you are late to this party and you haven't caught it yet, of course, you can always get the FX app and you can always get them on demand. And definitely, you're going to want to binge through Season 1. We can't wait for Season 2. Louis, it's funny you mentioned Caroline's. I saw on your Twitter feed that you headlined there 30 years ago this week. Do you still love doing stand-up comedy as much as you did when you started?
You know, I do. And I have a new Baskets has brought me a new audience, and I'm working on a new special. And you know, one thing about comedy is it's always been my go-to, and it's always really provided for me. And once again, I'm really enjoying it, and I'm going on a little tour with Martha, and, you know, I'm hoping Zach will join us on one of the shows. And you never know, you know, I keep inviting everybody down. I say, come on down, do a set, what the hell? You know, this is a really, this show has a great crew. You know, it's a real family. We felt very much like a family shooting the show, and the family is really fun. It's really fun to have this crazy group of people. You know, because I think all families are crazy. So I think that people just hide their craziness. Some are better at hiding it than others. That's all.
Yep, I think you're absolutely right. Well, like Ali said, it's the role of a lifetime. We're honored to have you on the program. We're big fans, and you know, you're welcome anytime on the Kevin and Bean Show. Louis, happy birthday. Thanks for joining us today.
The next time I'm in town, I'd love to come in.
Sounds great. Thanks, sir. Bye-bye. Jet on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Have we ever had a guest on the phone, Ralph, from Cyprus? Because we're going to talk to Dr. Drew coming up just after 9.
Yeah, I hope he's okay. I hope he got that money I sent him.
Oh,
hope
how much so did too. You send?
It's about $20,000.
Oh, beans and 10.
First class tickets, you know, he's got to get his documentation back. And
sure. He's in a tight spot.
I know
out
he's
there
good for it. He's got 19 television shows, so I figured.
Losing his wallet or something and everything?
All of his vital things, it said.
Vital.
Because that's what he would talk about, his vital things.
His vital things.
sounds like Drew.
Well, we'll find out exactly what happened when we speak with the good doctor coming up after 9. First, the Ralph's here with the showbiz beat on a Thursday. What's new?
First things first. Happy
Happy
National Cheesesteak Day, everybody. Happy National Cheesesteak Day.
Is it?
Oh, man. Yes, it's a thing.
Doesn't it seem like it's National Something Day every single day of the year now?
Listen, 7/12 Christmas guy. Why don't you bite me when it comes to holidays, okay? Because you are drawn on a weak hand there, son.
But wasn't it just National Puppy Day yesterday?
Maybe. I don't know. All I know is today is National Cheesesteak Day.
Okay.
Suckas.
Right. And how are you celebrating?
I'm celebrating by woofing down about 8 cheesesteaks in the other room.
Where'd they come from?
Our friend from Philly's Best, which is where I go to get cheesesteaks locally here. Because they use the Amoroso bread, which is important. Got to have the local Philadelphia bakery bread from Amoroso. And it tastes just like a Philly cheesesteak. And they have I don't know, they have a bunch of locations around Southern California. But they brought us over a big bunch of cheesesteaks this morning. And some Frank's soda and some Tasty Cakes and some Wise Chips.
Frank's
it's like
soda?
Being back
That's
home
a
for you.
Philly thing?
Frank's is a local Philadelphia soda, yeah. So it's just a party in the other room, that's all.
What kind of cakes?
Tasty Cakes.
Tasty Cakes.
Nobody bakes a cake as tasty as a Tasty Cake.
Well, it's in the name.
That's what I'm saying. And that was their jingle.
You know, Miss Lactose Intolerant over there has no time for your cheese
sticks. Tell me
more. Yeah, and by the way, let me tell you about some weak-ass judgments in the other room. Uh-huh. Christine, our assistant producer, Christine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She got the vegetarian cheesesteak. You bite me with that stuff, right?
She's a vegetarian.
Whatever, right. Then she just go eat a sprout then. Just go eat a cloud or a rock or whatever it is you eat and just leave cheesesteaks alone. Don't ruin them by making a vegetarian cheesesteak. Ruiner of things.
So we could have gotten a cheesesteak from me with no cheese?
Yeah, just that? Bread. You could have just you got a bread. You could have got a roll.
Would that hurt you?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't be bad is what I'm saying.
Okay.
On Ralph says, if you're not going to eat a cheesesteak exactly like the way he likes it, then don't eat it at all.
Well, cheesesteak.
You like it whiz-wit.
It's in the name. Steak has to be in there. Cheese has to be in
whiz-wit.
There.
Whiz-wit. That's
I didn't
my
choice. I didn't have whiz-wit this morning. I had American wit.
Oh.
Which is awesome also.
I don't know what any of that means. But.
American cheese with grilled onions.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
All right. Anyway.
Whiz wit's my chawn.
Is that your Philly accent?
You like it?
No.
Oh. All right.
All right. Let's talk some show business news. This is pretty cool. You know Sarah Clark? She was on Covert Affairs in 24. She's going to be joining the hit show NCIS as a special agent for the FBI. Just announced she's joining the cast. That's pretty cool.
Okay.
Being not interested in
Well, we don't know anyone who watches any of the NCIS.
It is one of the most popular shows in the world.
Yeah. I know.
This sounds pretty cool. New show on Netflix called Maniac featuring Emma Stone and Jonah Hill as mental patients. All right, that doesn't catch your attention either. All right, I'll find something you'll like. I'll find something you'll like. How about John Legend producing and writing an original song for a upcoming Broadway show based on the comedian and civil rights activist Dick Gregory? All right. That's not a thing.
Okay. I don't hate that one.
I'll listen to something. That. Yeah. I'll listen to it.
What else something. You got?
How about Paul McCartney joining the cast of the next Pirates of the Caribbean movie? How about that?
What?
That's Mad Libs.
Doing
is
what?
Mad Libs. Acting?
As
a pirate?
So they already have a Rolling Stone in the movie franchise, and now they're going to have a Beatle.
Right. They had Keith Richards in the last one, and now they said Paul is there. They're shooting a special sequence with Paul as a special role, because Paul and Johnny Depp apparently are friends.
Huh.
And so Paul's going to come in and do a role in the next movie.
I don't hate it.
See? Okay. I knew I'd find something good for you.
I know I've asked you this question before,
Oh,
Ralph.
Boy. Here we go.
But
what's the set look like that they're filming on?
I'm not going to ask that.
Are there any vines hanging from the ceiling?
I just want to know, honestly, does the world need another Pirates of the Caribbean movie?
We have been through this.
No, but seriously, though.
Yes, it does. I will watch as many as they make because those are enormously enjoyable films. Yes.
You're getting something new out of a fifth movie that you haven't already seen?
Oh, sweet Jesus.
You talk about how you're out of time. You can't keep up. There's so much great quality entertainment out there. It's just really first-class work being done that you can't see because you're too busy. Yet you're going to go see the fifth Pirates of the Caribbean movie?
Pete, shut up! Just shut up! Get him off the air, please! Pete, shut up!
That is a live call that we just took.
We're just a random call that we just potted up the phones.
Right, I guess he spoke for you then.
Do we need a 25th James Bond movie? I mean, you can say that about any franchise.
I love James Bond.
Either you like the films or you don't.
I don't like it. I will not allow it.
You're the worst. Just the worst.
You know, everybody talks about how, I mean, you of all people talk about how about an original idea? How about not taking something that's been done before?
We're not
just
talking
doing
about a reboot or a remake. We're talking about another film in a franchise, in a series of films.
I thought that thing ran out of steam like two movies ago.
How many of them have you seen?
I haven't seen any of them.
Well, then,
they look
God
terrible.
Damn you right to hell.
But I'm just saying.
I knew it.
Do we need a fifth?
Bean, shut up, 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 shut up.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Where are these callers coming from?
From everywhere. From around the world.
He's never
God damn it, Bean.
Come on.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Louis Anderson, 63 years old.
I wonder what he's up to.
No idea.
He's going to be a Jackie.
Jim Parsons is 43 years old today. Allison Hannigan's 42.
Hi, Allison.
Peyton Manning, former NFL quarterback. Sounds weird to say. Former NFL quarterback, doesn't it? One of the legends, one of the greats. 40 years old today. Imagine being 40 years old and boom, your career's over, you're done, you're finished, you got nothing left in the tank. It's it for you.
But you also have all the money in the world and 40 years to just enjoy yourself.
Yeah. And he's married to the Papa John's guy, so they can...
That's right. He's married to Papa... They can make nice pizza together. Yeah.
Thank God they finally allow gay marriage in Colorado.
Jessica Chastain is 39 years old, and actress Lake Bell turns 37 today. I'm Ralph Garman, walk the showbiz beat.
Every week at this time, I look forward to catching with our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, whose universe is falling apart. Let me just tell you, Dr. Drew is in a very bad way right now. First of all, Dr. Drew, they moved your HLN show. What's that all about?
Well, they knew I was going to be hacked. No. We've just decided that maybe at 4 in the afternoon, 7 Eastern might be a bit of time for the show. We're trying it out. We may switch back. We're not sure. But, you know, we got tired of losing to Dancing with the Stars and The Voice. It didn't make much sense. Murder porn didn't make much sense up against The Voice.
It is funny because when I think about the competitive landscape of you guys who are on cable news, I only think in terms of MSNBC and Fox and CNBC and CNN. But I guess you're right. You're up against everything that's on the air at that time.
That's absolutely true. And so we're just messing around with our time slot. We'll see. And we're also messing around with the format. And that's the one of the great sort of, one of the things I'm so grateful for being at HLN is they let me fool around a little bit with the content and explore things that other networks would be very intolerant of. So we'll figure it out.
All right, so 4 p.m. now if you want to see Dr. Drew on HLN. Okay, now what's going on with Loveline? You ran off another host. How many hosts have you been through since you've been doing that show, Drew?
Approximately 5, give or take.
Drew, okay. What are you doing to him? What's happening?
Well, why does nobody want to work with you?
I don't know what it is. We buried a few you've never heard of, too. Unmarked graves. And I don't know, Allie, you want to be one of those? That'd be fine.
That'd be cool.
I think Allie would be an outstanding host for Loveline, by the way.
Well, we'll bring her in, but how's she going to then get up at 4 in the morning and deal with you?
Oh, I'd quit this job in a
second. Oh, yeah. She'd ditch this dog and pony show. So, Drew, we had Catherwood on yesterday, and he obviously is, it was a tough decision for him to make. He's been doing it for over 6 years. I think he loves that show, but his schedule has just gotten such where he can't do everything. But he has been a great host on Loveline. He's going to be tough to replace. Do you have any idea who it's going to be or what the process is going to be like to find a new co-host?
I really don't, and that's kind of, our fearless leader, Kevin Weatherly, is very involved with that, and mm-hmm. we'll kind of see. I think we'll try a bunch of different people, and, we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, more power to you.
Now Emily, I'll tell you what, Emily from Sex and Emily will step in immediately.
Yeah,
so
she's great.
More of her.
She's great.
And I would like to see some people with, some maybe transgender or sexual orientation differences. I mean, we got to modernize the host, too, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, because that would be a reflection on the types of things you're hearing from your audience, too.
Yeah,
is those
100% the things that people are thinking about and interested in. And so I'd like a host to reflect some of that. So we'll talk
All right.
about it. We'll think about it.
You made a reference when you got on the line to being hacked. And this is one of those things that's going to happen to everybody who's got an email. Is they're going to get hacked at one point in their life. But you woke up the other morning, and what was your first indication, Drew, that things were amiss?
Well, I mean, not only before I tell you how it all started, I just want to say that while everyone can expect some sort of hacking, I don't think everyone can anticipate an international incident generated from their email. I about 4:50 in the morning on Monday morning got a text from Tyler White, someone used to be on our work with Loveline. He's Tyler Who Ruins Radio. Those who are After Disaster fans. And he said, man, you got to get up and change your password. You've been hacked. I said, all right, oh, God. All right. I'd been asleep for only like 3 hours at that point. Crap, I've only got 2 more hours before I have to get up. All right, I'll go change my password. Because, you've been hacked. I figured it was – and I'd seen some hacks recently of emails sort of getting onto from peers of mine, saying they were caught somewhere asking for money. I thought, it must be something to do with that. And so I get on, and I can't sign on to my Gmail because someone has activated something called a two-step verification process where you have to get a code sent to your phone, your cell phone, except they entered their own cell phone number onto this thing. So the code, I couldn't get the code.
So you got frozen out of your account. You couldn't even change the password.
Frozen out. So I thought, oh, my God. Well, I'm going back to sleep. I can't really do anything about this. Meantime, I've been pumping out all kinds of emails about how I'm caught in Cyprus. I need money. And it never occurred to me if people would take this thing seriously for a second.
And the way these things work, Drew, is they send them out to recipients in your address book. So they're friends and acquaintances and colleagues of yours that are getting the email that seems like it comes from you, right?
Well, yes. But the language, of course, the language is always a little weird, language I would never use. But on this particular email, it said, Susan and I are stuck in Cyprus. So they used my wife's name. And I signed it. They have me signing it at the end as Drew Pinsky, MD. So there's a little bit of like weird believability there. And by the way, how'd they get that information? And that's, I think, what got people past the disbelief. And oh my God, I received 160 texts. 160 texts from people. And they were pretty much split 50-50. 50% were, hey, you've been hacked, you better change your password. It's like, yeah, couldn't you have waited till 8 a.m. to tell me that? Did it have to be 5:55? So every 3 minutes, my phone was going off. But the other 50% were, hey, man, you okay? Can I send you some money? Are you all right? Are you guys going to be okay? And then the really sad part is I had some communications on there with some patients of mine who were just sort of communicating about just some perfunctory stuff. So these elderly patients of mine were getting this message, and they couldn't get the idea of hacking into their head. Sure. My office tried to reassure them. They were unreassurable. They had to hear my voice because they're saying, hey, it's from his email. He says he needs help. His email. It's him. He's saying he's in Cyprus. We got to do something. I was like, are you kidding? Has no one ever seen a hacking before?
Yeah,
I couldn't believe it. Did you see the video I sent Dave King Mexico?
No. Tell me.
From Maria Menounos and her fiance now, where Kevin was initiated the process. Like, oh man, I got you covered. What do you need? What you get back is a email saying, oh, thank you so much. Just wire the money to this Western Union address in Cyprus. Well, now on my HLN program, I've got Evie Pomporis, the Secret Service agent, who starts flipping out, getting angry with me, and she turns it into an international incident. So now I'm talking to FBI agents in the capital of Cyprus. I have to have Hollywood PD and detectives involved, and it's a whole manhunt now, everybody.
Once
I started whining about this on the radio, Google took action and got a handle on things very quickly. I want to thank Google for taking care of this.
That does work then. So to a certain extent, that does work. That blanket approach, that shotgun, everyone in the email address, all you need is one person to come through with money, and it's been worth your time to hack, right?
I guess so, and they wanted $1,300. And I was stunned at how many people responded to the email. And by the way, once you respond, you're hacked, right? I mean, they'll fish you at that point.
Right,
so
right.
Oh my God! I thought the same email came to me from a peer about 3 weeks ago, and I thought, oh, poor guy's been hacked. I didn't think to page him at 5 a.m.
So, Dr. Drew, let me ask you this, and maybe this is something that the FBI person told you about, but whoever was that hacked you that gave their cell phone number or a cell phone number to receive the code, is that something they can use to track down that person, or is that almost certainly just a burner phone that can't be traced?
Or just some random number. I mean, they may not, but it is two things out of the two-step verification. Everybody, activate your two-step verification with your own phone number on it, because that adds or affords you a certain amount of security. The other comedy is that if you have your two-step verification for your access to your email activated by someone else, there's a 10-page document you have to fill out, and at the end it says from Google, we'll respond to this in 3 to 5 days to let you know if we're even able to help. And I saw that, and I was like, no, you've got to do – that's what I started whining about, and then they actually did something. So
and then you were the squeaky wheel. All right, last question for you, Dr. Drew, and I'm glad that there wasn't any serious damage done. It's just an inconvenience for you. But how is it possible that none of us who have known you for 25 years that work on this show are in your email address book? Like, why didn't Dave hear from you? Why didn't I hear from you? People have been around for a long time.
Well, I'll tell you what. Do you guys have .krock or something or .cbs?
At krock.com, yeah.
Yes, there probably is a firewall there. I noticed that several people who had sort of corporate email addresses like Cumulus or something, they it bounced out.
I see.
The firewall. So I bet you, because I know I've got you guys, many of your guys.
I mean, I would think so, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what happened. It's probably got bounced into some – it's probably out there somewhere in the corporate, sort of.
That is pretty quick thinking, Dr. Drew, to come up with that to save face.
I love that Bean was offended, though.
I was offended. I was offended. All right,
Bean,
we got to let you go.
Allie Bean immediately sent. I knew you know I follow you on Twitter and stuff. We communicate that way, but immediately send me your email, please. Thank you.
All right.
Just to be sure.
Dr. Drew, good luck on
by the way,
Saturday.
So next time I'm hacked, you can enjoy this experience. This
yes, I will look forward to that. Good luck on Saturday, and I want to make everybody aware, a reminder that Dr. Drew is going to be singing the National Anthem. Yes, you heard me correctly, singing the National Anthem at the Los Angeles Kings game. It's going to be this Saturday against the Oilers. I assume that's going to be a sellout anyway, but try to get tickets if you can and go see Dr. Drew. How's the rehearsal been going with Pia? You feel pretty good about it, Drew?
I did. She came on KBC yesterday, and she was said, "You're ready," and she gave me a good pep talk. And I think I'm about there. I'm on schedule. Put it that way.
Are you singing "O Canada" as well?
I am not, and maybe Pia will or something. And I didn't realize who they were playing. I would have been happy to learn that, but thank God I didn't. So it would have been another headache for me.
Love Line, sunny through Thursday nights on K-Rock at 10 o'clock. Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood for the time being. Then don't forget the new time for Dr. Drew on HLN is at 4 p.m. Pacific, and then look for Dr. Drew middays on KABC from noon till 3, also with Mike. Have a great week, sir. Thanks so much for coming on. Have fun at the Kings game.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Who's on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Ali, you probably saw that interview with Butch Vig that he did this week where he talked about how he's prepping some new music with Dave Grohl that is not going to be Foo Fighters music.
Really?
So what's that about? They just made that whole big production about how he's not going solo and they're not breaking up.
Well, I don't think they're breaking up. He can do other stuff.
Well, now I'm confused. I'm just saying. I guess we'll just have to wait and find out what happens. All right. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for tuning in. It was big news in the world of MMA. In fact, I found out about it when I saw a tweet from the president, our friend Dana White, a couple of days ago, where he just tweeted an entire map of the United States, and every state was colored in red, and on top of it, it said the UFC Nation or something like that. And what he was trying to tell us is that finally, New York has cleared the way to allow UFC fights in their state. Now, why, Allie, you've probably followed this more closely than I have. Why has New York been the holdout? Why have you been able to have fights in California and in Nevada and other places, but not in New York?
Well, when we had Dana in, he said it was just union after union blocking it. And it seemed a little corrupt. So maybe corruption.
I was very surprised by that. I thought maybe that, you know, somebody had a problem with the violence or something, but they've always allowed heavyweight fights in New York. So
sure.
I was confused by this, but it is going to happen. So we'll find out when the next, the UFC fight in New York is going to be. But it was not without some controversy. There were a lot of people who were against it in New York who are not happy with the decision. And I think we have one of them, New York Assemblyman Charles Barron joins us on the phone right now. Mr. Barron, thanks so much for joining us, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing fine. So you're an assemblyman there in New York State, and you disagree with the decision to allow MMA to be fought in your state.
Yeah, no way they should be fought here in New York State.
Uh-huh.
It's savage. It's brutal. And, you know, let me tell you something. We don't let our police, okay, use chokeholds on people anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, anymore.
Yeah, right.
Because
you put a guy in a chokehold, you know. People die that way, all right?
Right. But, I mean, this is an organized sport that has a referee no more than a couple of feet away who makes sure that doesn't happen.
What about the brain damage? How about brain damage?
Well, I mean, I think you could make that argument for a lot of sports. I mean, you're in a contact sport. Some people are going to get hurt, but fighters certainly know that when they choose that to make a living with.
I think we need, as New York, we need to take a stand. And we got to lead this nation because this ain't right. This ain't right. These two guys getting into a ring together, and they're sweating all over each other, and they start wrestling and grappling with each other.
Right. Well, and, it's hand to hand combat.
Yeah, describing MMA.
Yeah, and then they get on the ground there and they start you know hugging.
They're not.
You mean wrestling?
Yeah, wrestling. Yeah.
Trying to get a submission.
Oh,
right.
They get so sweaty, don't they? These guys.
Well, I mean, yeah, athletes sweat when they're
exerting
in the sport.
Yeah, they exert.
A lot of energy.
A lot of energy. Yeah,
Charles.
And then,
but are you for this or against this?
The guy gets on top. You know, he's on top. He's like, hey, I'm on top of you. No, I'm gonna flip you over now. Who's on top now, bucko? They call each other bucko.
They do.
Do they really?
And then I'm pinning you. I'm pinning you down. I submit. Submit to me, one guy says to the other guy, and then, oh, yeah.
So you watch it or no?
Oh, do I watch it? Oh, boy. Oh, boy, do I watch it.
Yeah. It sounds to us like maybe you enjoy MMA, so I would think that you would be voting for it.
No, I don't like it. No, I don't like it. Mommy, make it stop. I don't like it. Okay, I like it. I like it too much.
You like it too much, right?
I like it so much.
I think that's what's happening. All right.
Oh, well, boy, do I like it.
Well, that's
like
for you.
I like it when it's illegal. I like it because it's illegal.
Oh, that's what it is. I see.
It's forbidden. It's forbidden and illegal, right? Right? Isn't it forbidden? Tell me I'm a bad boy. Tell me I'm bad.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Well, you could have flown down for it. Like a real fan.
Oh, well, I can walk. It's a good.
That was A Moment with Bean.
Look, you either have to laugh or cry when you're doing this job, right? And I just choose to find it funny that I'm so bad. All right, it's 9:41 Thursday morning. Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat on this edition of the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Well, you know, we had the update from Chachi. Chachi gave us his take on who to vote for, remember?
Right.
Scott
yes,
Baio
that's right.
came
mm-hmm.
forward and said, Trump. It's got to be Trump.
Trump
right. all the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's the man. And a lot of us said, oh, you know, what about Pinky Tuscadero, you know? What about
Leather?
What about Leather Tuscadero? What about Potsy? I mean, we need more information.
Piccolo.
We need more input from has-beens who we should vote for. So you'll be happy to know that Cindy Brady has stepped up to the mic. Susan Olsen. Cindy Brady from the Brady Bunch has stepped forward.
And now, breaking news, Boone.
Here's her quote. Donald Trump is the only man that will stop radical Islam. So she is throwing her her weight behind Donald Trump as well.
What about Kitty Carryall?
I think he's the only candidate that will confront and defeat the powers within that are colluding with radical Islam. See, Cindy Brady thinks that there's a conspiracy between the American government and radical Islam to bring down the country.
That makes sense.
Okay.
I think he would fix a lot of the corruption. This is why they don't want him, Cindy Brady said.
Wow. Now, did somebody ask Susan Olsen
yes.
who she was wanted for president?
Someone
or was this
asked,
just something she tweeted or blogged about?
No, this was an interview where they asked Cindy Brady who she wanted to have for president.
Okay.
She also thinks that Trump will be able to take the curse off of Greg for that big surfing competition. Gotta get that totem off from around his neck. The tiki has to be
right?
removed.
The spider
finally.
On
finally, yeah. somebody I mean, can stand up to that.
Who's going to stand up to the tiki? Only Donald Trump will stand up to the tiki.
Now, Ralph, there are a lot of people who have been coming out supporting Donald Trump in recent weeks. Of course,
yes.
There's no question he's winning. Winning over a lot of folks. Do you think that many of these people are just, I'm a Republican and I'm never going to vote for Hillary, so I'm going to support the Republican nominee? Or do you think that Donald Trump makes sense to those people and they've just been won over by him?
I don't think you are coming out for Donald Trump unless he is striking some sort of chord with you. No one is just saying, well, better Trump than
But there are
Hillary.
People who just vote a straight party ticket.
Right, but those people are going for Cruz. Those are the Ted Cruz supporters.
Right now, I guess. Yeah, you're right.
Because
Until they're forced to vote for Trump because he's the last man standing,
right.
I guess. Yeah.
If you're caring about the Republican Party and you want some modicum of sanity, you know, if you're trying to hold your party together, then you go with Cruz because
he's
the establishment.
But he's got the ugly wife, though, I heard.
He's got an ugly wife. Yeah.
That's what I heard, according
to
Donald Trump.
That's what Donald Trump said, yeah.
Right. Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
You are. You're a smart guy. You spill the beans. This is interesting news. Paul McCartney doesn't do a lot of acting. He's been in a couple movies. Right? He was in Help, of course, and Hard Day's Night with his fellow Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
But he also starred in a movie called Give My Regards to Broad Street, I think. Yeah. But now he's going to be appearing in Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. They are filming a special scene built all around Paul McCartney, who has quietly joined the cast of the film, says this report. No word on what character he will play. But this is going to be a thing. Paul McCartney and Johnny Depp working together in the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
And how do you feel about stunt casting?
Well, look, remember when they had Keith Richards come by? play his dad.
Right.
That was awesome. I love that.
Because he looks just like him.
Looks just like him, and Johnny based the character on him.
Right.
So it was great. It was very fun. And I think this is probably, this will be just a fun little cameo as well.
Okay.
Oh, I'm here to make sure that your gold doesn't get stolen. Something like that.
Every line in the movie with
oh, let's get on the boat, and then we'll raise the sails. We'll catch some wind.
Right. No, I'm in.
See? I knew I could. I
didn't realize it was going to be great.
Sad news. Ken Howard, the president of SAG, and or what's it called now? One, I guess, is the name of the union.
I just think of it as SAG-AFTRA.
SAG-AFTRA?
Not AFTRA?
Not AFTRA? Not AFTRA? Just AFTRA?
SAG-AFTRA. Did I not say that right?
No, you said SAG-AFTRA. I think of it as SAG-AFTRA.
He's turning into Kevin.
Yes. Can we hear that moment with again? One more time. Let's hear that moment.
No,
again.
I don't think that's necessary.
Now, a moment with Bean.
Well, you could have flown down for it. Like a real fan.
I'll walk and walk. It's a good, good.
That was a moment with Bean.
Absolutely. SAG-AFTRA.
Look, someone's got to pick up the slack when Kevin's on vacation. Come on.
He was the president of SAG-AFTRA. And he was also an actor, The White Shadow, Thomas Jefferson in 1776.
Hey, his best role, for my money, was the last few seasons of 30 Rock, where he was the head of Cable Town.
Cable Town.
The one who bought NBC. He was fantastic. He was so funny on that show.
Very funny on that show. Great actor. Has passed away at the age of 71. Did you watch the White Shadow, where he played the white basketball coach in the inner city school?
I did not.
And he was...
I saw a lot of love for it online yesterday, yeah. But I think that might have been before my time.
He was a mentor to all those kids on that show, and it was very before your time.
Yeah.
Bean, this was during your time.
Yes.
Or like, this, so during your time.
Absolutely during your time.
You'd come home from high school and watch this.
Right.
Remember, I didn't have a TV until the 90s,
okay.
So I missed a lot of stuff.
You're a weird dude. You're just a weird
dude. I was a radio guy. I didn't care about it.
But you didn't own a television.
No, I didn't.
You're weird. That's weird.
I got a TV when I got this job because I had to for this job.
And now you're obsessed with TV. That is so bizarre.
It was the smartest decision I ever made in my life, too, because I'm an idiot for having missed out on the first, numerous years of great TV that I could have been watching and wasn't. So I'm sorry I missed The White Shadow. But that's not a show that has survived, though. It's not. You never see that aired again, or nobody ever talks about it. It seems like it's kind of a forgotten gem, I guess.
It was out of the MTM2. It was the Mary Tyler Moore production company put it together. It was a real good show. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Lake Bell is 37 years old today. Jessica Chastain celebrates her 39th birthday. Peyton Manning is 40. Allison Hannigan celebrates 42 years today.
Hi, Allison. Call me.
She's not going to call you.
Well,
Bean, don't be weird.
She might be listening.
Yeah, even if she's listening, she's not going to call you.
Well, she could call in and say, hey, guys, thanks for the birthday shout-outs.
She's got kids. She's busy. She's got a life.
Okay. All right. Just in case. I thought maybe. Might hit her the right way.
Nope.
Jim Parsons is 43.
Hit her the right way, he just said.
And Louis Anderson, very funny comedian, currently on Baskets.
Oh, we found out what he was doing?
We talked to him earlier today.
Oh.
A lovely interview with a lovely man. He's 63 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You'll love this, Ralph. We talked to Louis Anderson for about 10 minutes, had a great time talking about Baskets. Season finale is tonight on FX. And then you did the showbiz beat minutes later and mentioned his birthday. And I offhandedly, as a joke, said, I wonder what Louis Anderson is up to lately. Because we had literally just hung up the phone.
Right.
And a listener called up and told Beerbug, tell the guys he's on Buckets.
Or Baskets.
Or Baskets?
Baskets, maybe.
He said Buckets,
though.
Oh,
he said Buckets.
I thought was hilarious because we knew what he was on, is my point.
A lot of people just tune for the showbiz beat, Bean. I think that's the thing.
Oh,
I think that's what we're learning.
That was not helpful.
They don't listen to a lot of stuff either side of it. They just, they just.
Well, I can't believe it.
Until they just hit the dial and just.
But I think they will be listening tomorrow for an all new Kevin and Bean show because it's going to be a good one. It is Friday. That means we've got the movie beat on the program tomorrow. We got a brand new Bean's Death Corner for you tomorrow. It's been a while. Got some great stuff for you. And I love this when we have live music on the program. And for an interview and live performance, the band X Ambassadors is going to be here as well. They're playing the Wiltern this weekend, and that is going to be a lot of fun. I really, really enjoy those guys. So that's all tomorrow morning right here on the world-famous K-Rock.